around, and you are sitting there thinking to yourself, well, but Felicia, that's the whole point of a USB flash drive. That is correct. For most people, that is the whole point of a USB flash drive. You need to come up with a different way to share files and to transfer files, because bad USB exists. All that you are doing is asking for trouble if you share around USB flash drives. So find something where you can do secure FTP or secure file transfer using a network connection. Figure it out. Just don't, please don't go and infect yourself with bad USB. Anyways, I hope you now understand all that there is to know about how to prevent malvertising from hitting your computers and infecting them.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. Support comes from Carthage College. Learn more about the Master of Social Work program offered at Carthage in partnership with Loyola University Chicago. An information session will be held Saturday evening, November 15th, beginning at 6. To RSVP, call 551-6300. Support for WGTD in NPR and Walworth County comes from Broggy Cafe, a fine art and gift shop in Williams Bay, offering gourmet coffee, homemade soups, breads, and quiche Tuesday through Saturday. Also, live music Friday and Saturday evenings at the corner of Highway 67 and Walworth Avenue. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified Administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the Teacher Education Faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an Associate Professor of Education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current Special Education Support Volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the Special Education Department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today's program will explore a unique service opportunity that provides tutors to Racine Unified School District first, second, and third graders. Schools of Hope is a partnership between the United Way of Racine County, RUSD, and area businesses, beginning its third year, and here to discuss it with us are Anne Hansen, a teacher with 13 years experience in Racine Unified, currently a third grade teacher at Giese Elementary.
Thank you.
Gina Siegert, who works in marketing, communications, and publishing with a focus on college level textbooks and online educational products. Returning this fall for her second season as a Schools of Hope volunteer, Gina enjoys tutoring first graders at Janes Elementary School.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Janelle Decker is also with the Racine Unified School District. She has spent the last 8 years as a reading specialist and is now the Assistant Director of Curriculum and Instruction, servicing all schools and students K through 12 in their teaching and learning needs.
Happy to be here.
And Jessica Safransky-Schott is the Education Initiatives Director with United Way of Racine County. Jessica is a Racine Unified graduate, earned a BA in English from Carthage College, and is certified to teach English at the secondary level.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having us.
Reading is fundamental. Many listeners probably remember that slogan from Saturday morning public service announcements, but it's more than a slogan. Reading is the most fundamental skill children need to succeed in school and in life. Children who do not master reading are more likely to drop out of school, more likely to be impoverished or imprisoned. Strong readers are more likely to graduate from high school, attend technical school or college, and more likely to be able to find and keep a good job. How do we help struggling readers become strong readers? Schools of Hope is one program to help young students in Racine move from struggling to strong. Jessica, can you briefly tell us what Schools of Hope is and how it got started?
Absolutely. Schools of Hope is a United Way-led initiative. We have a great partnership with Racine Unified School District, local businesses, and other concerned community members, and we provide students in early grades with tutors in reading on a regular basis to help them improve their reading achievement. We are, as you said, entering our third year of programming. Back in 2011, some United Way of Racine County volunteers set aside some money that they wanted to be invested in an initiative that would address early grade reading proficiency. And after some research, we landed on Schools of Hope as the way that we wanted to do that. We relied heavily on the Schools of Hope model that was developed in Dane County, so the Madison Metropolitan School District, in the mid-90s. And we also called on our colleagues at the Heart of West Michigan United Way and United Way of the Wine Country in California to learn more about how their programs are implemented, and then took that model, adopted it in our community, and made adjustments that helped fit the needs of our students and our volunteers. We started tutoring in 2012. Then in the fall of that school year, we started at two schools. In the spring of that school year, we expanded to two additional schools, so a total of four schools. And then at the beginning of our second school year, we expanded to include eight schools. And this year, our third year, we are at eight schools again.
Wow. So, Anne, since you are a teacher, how many students in your school work with tutors? And how are the students in your class selected for tutoring?
This year, we have 25 students that work with a tutor at Geezy, and this year we were given some more guidance. Last year was our first year at Geezy for having Schools of Hope in the building, but this year we selected students based on a MAP test, which is a test the students take on a computer in the fall, so they took it in September.
And so you selected just those that struggled the most on the MAP test?
Right, that would fall in that kind of gray area that needed some extra support.
Okay. And Janelle, how many students throughout RUSD are currently paired with tutors?
We have 220 students across eight schools that are working with tutors right now. Schools and classrooms are basically determined by staff buy-in to the program, and luckily that has been spreading like wildfire. So we have good success so far.
So you have plenty of participants. So are there more schools and classrooms that want to have tutors and you're looking for more tutors?
Yes, we're always looking for more tutors. Okay. All schools have a need.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Our ability to add additional tutors or additional schools is really only limited by the number of tutors that we have. So as we have more schools expressing an interest and we can continue to build our volunteer base, we'll be able to look at adding additional schools in the future.
Okay. So now I'd like to turn to an actual tutor. Gina, can you tell us how you got involved with Schools of Hope?
Sure. I first heard about Schools of Hope from my husband, who volunteers with United Way, and then I read about it in the Journal Times. I had been interested in joining a literacy program for quite a while, but all the ones I looked at looked kind of overwhelming from a time commitment standpoint, a training standpoint. So when I heard that Schools of Hope was only an hour a week, I thought, well, I can't really talk myself out of that. I think I can manage an hour a week. So that seemed really exciting to me as well, the commitment standpoint. So I went online and signed up and went to orientation and training, and now this is my second year.
So can you tell us maybe a memorable moment with one of the students that you've worked with so far?
Sure. One of my readers had a difficult time early in the year with alphabet and confidence in reading. And so at the end of the year when they have the United Way throws a party for tutors and readers, they also get a backpack full of books that they can take home with them. She took her book out and in the middle of this party started reading to me, like, immediately. And I thought that was just, there's nothing better than that she was so excited and had so much confidence at the end of the year.
That's wonderful. And what is the kind of difference that you see in the students before having their tutors and after?
We see just that. We see the students have so much confidence in their ability to read. We see their enjoyment for reading. I have students all the time that are last year and this year that they tell me in the morning, it's tutor day, my tutor's coming, I get to read with my tutor. I see them, they're coming down the hall. So just their confidence, their enjoyment for reading, and then their improvement on their scores, that we can look at those fall scores and compare them in the spring and see the growth that they've made.
Wow. So, Jessica, could you explain to us how the tutors are recruited and then if there is some sort of selection process?
Sure. We recruit tutors from across the community. Our time commitment, as Gina said, is minimal. It's 1 hour per week, so it's kind of hard for people to say that they don't have that time. All of our tutoring takes place during the school day, and we ask volunteers to make a commitment for the duration of the school year so that we have some consistency for the students. Any adult who has the time and the willingness to learn some skills that we teach them are welcome to apply to be a tutor. And we have an online application that anybody can access. It's on the United Way website. It's unitedwayracine.org. And as part of that application process, the volunteers have to consent to and then pass a background check. And that background check is completed by the Racine County Sheriff's Department. So it allows us to ensure that we have safe volunteers going into our schools and into our classrooms. And then we provide training to the tutors, both up front to get them started, and then throughout the school year, some refreshers and tips to help them feel supported and prepared to work with students. So currently we have just over 200 volunteers that are part of our program this year, and 58% of those volunteers are working adults, and that's really where the partnership with the business community comes in. So we have a number of employers in our community that see the value in allowing their employees to volunteer during the workday, both from the standpoint of employee satisfaction. They're able to do something kind of unusual and enjoyable during the course of their work week, but then also from the standpoint that the students that our tutors are working with are our community's future workforce. So when we have employers that have people coming to them looking for jobs and they're lacking in some of those critical skills, this is a way that employees and employers can invest some time now and see a return later on. So these kids are our future workforce, and they really deserve every extra support that we can give them so that they can be successful now and then become contributing members of our community later on. So we have a number of employees that are employers in our community that work with their employees, and it varies by company how they do that. They might allow employees to flex their time or use their lunch hour, whatever works for each company. It's kind of up to them, but then they can go out and volunteer. Our tutors have a really wide range of experiences. We have everyone from a daycare teacher, we have engineers, we have a woman who's a manager at a McDonald's, we have a president of a local company, so kind of every level of experience and background, and it really makes for a really robust experience for our students to have all those different kinds of people coming in and working with them. We know that people are really busy, so we offer volunteers the opportunity to partner with a friend or colleague and become part of a tutor team and then share that responsibility. So they wouldn't tutor every week, they tutor every other week or every third week, so they can still participate in the program, still work with students, but then also maintain their other responsibilities. So some of the largest supporters in our community right now are Modine Manufacturing. The school district has a number of employees that aren't classroom teachers, but employees of the district that come in and tutor. Educators Credit Union has been a great supporter of us this year. We have a number of employees from their company as well.
Wow. So there are a lot of companies involved. How many total? Or I suppose it's hard to keep track.
Last year we had over 40 employers represented across the board, and the ones that I mentioned are just a few of the companies that allow their employees to volunteer. Those are the ones that have the largest number. So at Modine, we have 20 employees right now that are Schools of Hope volunteers.
Wow. I wonder if the children will ever go and get to see the tutors in their workplace. That might be an interesting twist on it.
That's a great
love
idea.
That.
Okay. Janelle, I understand you are involved in the training process. So what is it like and how much time does it take?
Well, the training process has changed over the past couple of years. I've actually been a part of Schools of Hope since it first started. So this year, we took one of the on-site trainings and changed it to more of a meet and greet where the tutors can get a feel for the building that they're going to be working in. They can meet their teacher, they can meet the administrator, they can see where they're going to pick up their student and where they actually will be tutoring their student. And then there is a two-hour tutoring session that is located at United Way where we go over how to build a relationship and a rapport with the student, the actual framework of the tutoring session, and then strategies and tips for the tutors to use when they're working with their students.
Oh, so they get 2 hours of training just specifically about how to do tutoring, so they don't need to go in blind and feel like, oh, I should know how to do this.
Correct. By the end of those 2 hours, they should have a good idea of what the session will probably look like, and they'll have a lot of strategies and troubleshooting things for when a fire drill happens, or maybe a student is having a rough day. So we try to cover a lot of things in that 2 hours that would make the tutors feel comfortable starting off.
Mm-hmm.
But we also understand that we cannot cover everything in 2 hours. That 2 hours is packed with a lot of really great information. So we are going to provide little either drop-in sessions or ongoing updates, maybe some videos throughout the school year, just to make sure that the tutors still feel well supported from us.
Mm-hmm. So, Gina, since you're a tutor, does that sound like your experience? Do you remember anything about the training?
It does. That sounds true to my experience. The support is really wonderful, and like you said, this year it's even more so. And they give us the tools that we need to go into the schools and not be nervous or uncomfortable. And we also have the teachers who provide a lot of support as well, that we have access to them. They're, you know, in person, or if after the fact we have a question, we have their email. And it just makes a big difference. So, yeah, I feel very prepared. And things come up, and I can always call Jessica or Janelle. And it's very organized and well thought out.
Is there anything in the training process that you remember specifically that turned out to be extremely helpful?
Well, now we have, for lack of a better term, like a little brochure or flyer type thing that provide like prompts, and there's more that's right there, so it's in our binder when we go and talk to the kids. Mm-hmm. So if there are any things that come up, we have that support. We don't have to bring it with us. It's always there in the classroom. They have their folders, and so that's what kind of comes to mind first, mm-hmm. is that there are the materials and tools that are handy.
Okay. I just want to remind our listeners that we are discussing Schools of Hope, a partnership with the United Way of Racine County and RUSD. Our guests are Ann Hansen, a third grade teacher at Giese Elementary, which is part of the Schools of Hope program. Gina Siegert is in her second season as a Schools of Hope volunteer at Janes Elementary School. Janelle Decker is Assistant Director of Curriculum and Instruction at RUSD, and she runs the tutor training program. And Jessica Safransky-Schott is the Education Initiatives Director with United Way of Racine County. Jessica, who provides the resources for Schools of Hope? Is it a grant or other funding source? Are there any non-monetary resources?
The resources for Schools of Hope come from a combination of sources. United Way of Racine County is the primary funder of Schools of Hope. We're really fortunate to have the support of the business community and individuals, and then also some grants that support various elements of the program. So some of that support we talked about as far as employers allowing their volunteers or their employees to flex their time to be volunteers, the partnership with the district where Janelle and I get to work together really closely to train the tutors and provide support to them. Gina mentioned we do celebrations at the end of every school year, and that's a really exciting week of the school year. It's very busy to do celebrations at 8 schools, but we do one at each school where we bring the volunteers and students together, and the kids don't know really what to expect other than they're having the celebration with their tutors. And we always have donuts and juice because that's in and of itself very exciting. But then the tutors provide the students with a backpack full of books. And the books are selected based on the student's current reading level at the end of the school year. so that over the course of the summer, the students have some books of their very own to read, because we know how critical it is for students to continue to read, not just during the school year, but over the summer as well, to help prevent some of that summer reading loss. And so we select books that are at the right level for those kids so that they are able to read them on their own and then share them with family members and friends. And the kids just get so excited to open up those backpacks full of books and pull them out. And we try to select really exciting current titles so that the students are excited to receive those books. And then we put a book plate inside of each book so that the kids can write their names in it, because I think there's just something so so exciting to have a book that you love that is your very own, and you get to put your name in it, and you might let somebody else look at it or borrow it or read it, but it always comes back to you. That's always your book. So we try to provide that experience for our students. And that whole book giveaway portion of our program is made possible through sponsorships and grants. So we write some grants to cover that, and then also receive some sponsorships from businesses, individuals, different civic organizations and clubs in the community as well. And then our largest non-monetary resource is our volunteers. We really couldn't do what we do without our volunteers. I always say without the volunteers, I would just be like a woman with a great plan and a lot of supplies and kids that need help reading, but I could never do this without the volunteers. So last year, our tutors provide over 10,000 tutoring sessions to our students at our 8 schools, and that comes out to be almost 3,500 hours of tutoring time, direct tutoring time. That's a value of over $100,000 that is given to our community and to our students through the power of our volunteers.
Wow, that's really quite a lot of time. I'm struck by the image of the backpack full of books. Who actually picks them out? Where do you go?
That is one of my favorite parts of my job. Getting to order like thousands of books is really exciting for a book lover like myself. So we work with the teachers to get all of the information about the student reading levels, and then United Way has a great partnership with Scholastic, so we order through Scholastic, and I try to order a really wide range of titles at the various levels, and then we have our volunteers come in and we fill our entire conference room with books, and we sort them out by level, and then the volunteers will select a student's name and go shopping for that student and fill the backpack and put the label on it and then put that in a box and then start the process all over. So it's quite the undertaking, but with our awesome volunteers, we get it done in just one afternoon. The first year we did it, I had no idea how long that was going to take. I had visions of being there well into the midnight hour, and it was done in 4 hours. Our volunteers are just incredible, and it's a really fun thing to do, to pick a child's name and see what their reading level is and then go look for books that you think that they would enjoy. So,
where do the backpacks come from?
We actually ordered those backpacks. They're just blue drawstring backpacks that have the program logo and that information on it, and then so the kids can keep the books in there and carry them around. And then I often will go to the school in the days following those celebrations and see the backpacks up on the students' hooks or in their cubbies, so the kids start using them right away. And then we also put information for the families in the backpack, so there will be reading tips that are specific to that child's grade level. We put information about library programming, the bookmobile schedule, how to get your child a library card, and then other resources that United Way of Racine County provides, like the FamilyWise prescription discount card and 211 information and referral. So just trying to reach out to families and get them some resources and information that they might not be aware of so that they can continue to help their students be successful.
Wow. Janelle, what does Racine Unified School District contribute to the program besides the training, which is pretty substantial, but I'm wondering what else?
The materials that are used day-to-day, some of them are provided by Racine Unified. So the books that the students are using in their tutoring session, those are properties of each building. The books that Jessica's speaking of are the celebration at the very end of the year. But when the tutoring sessions are happening, those are parts of either the book rooms throughout the school or the classroom libraries that each classroom has in each school. And this year we actually added a new section into our tutoring session, a writing portion, since writing and reading has such a strong correlation. Racine Unified provided the journals that each student will be using to do a brief interactive writing piece each tutor session. So the books and the journals are mainly what we contribute.
And obviously not every student can be assigned a tutor. They don't all necessarily need one. Do students without tutors show any curiosity or envy toward the students who do?
Yes, absolutely. My tutors are wonderful. I love my tutors. And I have three that returned from last year. So I'm very excited about Schools of Hope. But yes, they all want to. So if I have a student absent, they'll be like, oh, so-and-so's absent, Mrs. Hansen. Can I work with the tutor today? And this year we have more of a substitute student who's lined up for that kind of situation. But they're always offering to go and work with the tutors. But the tutors are so great because last year, even though one of my tutors worked with two students, she took the whole classroom kind of as her family. And when she would travel to Germany, she would send us postcards as a classroom to share the experiences she was having. So even though they have their two students they work with, they really interact, you know, more with the whole classroom. So
it's getting community members into your classroom that wouldn't have any other reason to be there, most likely.
Yes, and in this situation, she even would come in after her trip and then share with us some of the things she saw and did. So it was a great experience for all of us.
Wow.
Especially for our children who don't travel, you know, usually past Kenosha.
So. Right. So, Jessica, what else would a potential tutor need to know to get involved?
Anybody who is interested in tutoring is welcome. We would love to have you. You just need an hour per week, that willingness to learn some new skills, and the desire to help some students become more successful. You don't have to have any previous experience either in tutoring or a formal education background. The vast majority of our tutors come to us with all different backgrounds, but not usually an education background. So, like you said, this is an opportunity for community members to go into schools and see the great things that are happening and be involved in a very real, tangible, intentional way in the future of our students' lives. We provide all of that training and information and the resources and materials that the tutors need. Our goal is to make it as seamless and as easy as possible for the volunteers. So we try to remove any roadblocks that might come up so that our volunteers can come into the school, tutor their students, and go back about their day without having to do too much work beyond what they signed up to do. We try to be really true to what we ask our volunteers to do as far as that time commitment. We actually have a deadline coming up to become a Schools of Hope volunteer. That next deadline would be January 16th, and anybody interested in learning more about Schools of Hope, or if you'd like to complete the application, which is online, and that's the next step, should visit our website. It's unitedwayracine.org, and then click on the Schools of Hope button, or people could give me a call at 262-898-2251.
Okay. I'm just going to remind the listeners once again that we are discussing Schools of Hope, a partnership with United Way of Racine County and Racine Unified School District. And our guests are Ann Hansen, a third grade teacher at Giese Elementary, Gina Siegert, who is in her second season as a Schools of Hope volunteer at Janes Elementary School, Janelle Decker from Racine Unified, who is the Assistant Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and Jessica Safransky-Schott, who is the Education Initiatives Director with United Way of Racine County. Gina, I'm wondering if I could ask you to describe a typical tutoring session. What do you do in the hour that you volunteer? Where do you go?
Sure. Well, this year it's changed, and so I had my first session this morning, so I'm not as well versed on the new the new protocols, but essentially each student gets 20 minutes of our time. So basically, you greet your student at the classroom, and then oftentimes I just let my student pick their books, and my teacher has bins set up, so he or she will run and you know, pick out a couple titles. And then we'll, you know, kind of preview it and look at the cover and glance through the pictures. And then we'll read for about 10 minutes and then go over some questions and just kind of do comprehension and kind of see what they're retaining. And then now the new part of it that Janelle mentioned is this writing component. And that I just started this morning. And so it's the little notebooks, the journals are great, by the way. And so then we'll have them write. So like this morning I had my student, I said, well, what was the title of the book? And so they did their, you know, printed the title. And so they get to practice, you know, reading and looking at the, and practicing their penmanship or whatever. So so and that's 20, and the 20 minutes goes really fast. And then we do the same thing for the second student. So
you do two in one session?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have some housekeeping, so then we keep like a little book log for the other tutor. Like I tutor on Tuesdays, and then I have a co-tutor on Thursdays. And so I keep notes so that then when he has the same students, he can look and see, well, what books did you read? How did they do? Are they having certain areas that they're struggling with? So then you just do paperwork. So it's still less than an hour,
mm-hmm.
really.
And do you tutor in the classroom, or do you go to the library, or how does it work?
At Jane School, we're in the hallway,
mm-hmm.
So just outside the classroom. And there's tables set up, and it's really, to me, not at all difficult or disruptive. The school is very easy to work in. I know other schools, they have, you know, different setups, but at Jane's, we're in the right outside mm-hmm. the classroom.
And yeah, go ahead, Anne.
At Geezy, outside my classroom, we have what we call the West Learning Center, and there's tables set up with chairs, and typically that's where the tutors will go. We have library only every other week, so sometimes they have the library open to go in there and use that area as well. And I just wanted to mention that the notes that the tutors write are fabulous, because I make sure at least the end of the day, if not right away, I check to see what they write. And it's very helpful to the teachers in the beginning of the year who don't necessarily get that one-on-one time with their students, mm-hmm. especially with larger class sizes, that we can see what they felt. Oh, this book was too easy. Okay, let's try a different level for you. This was too hard. And it's very helpful. In my classroom, I try to set up reading bags where they already have books at their level, books in their level, in a bag, and then when they see their tutor, they just grab their whole reading bag, and then they have 8 books in there to choose from.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the current favorite books?
Bad Kitty.
Everyone loves Bad Kitty.
It's one of the favorites. Junie B. Jones is still always a great one. The kids are really into more of what we used to call the comic books, where they have the bubbles for the kids to read, but they're like huge, you know, like chapter books.
Mm-hmm. Graphic novels.
Yes, mm-hmm. thank you. But that's third grade. I know you tutor first grade, so it's probably slightly different.
Mm-hmm. So has there ever been an issue with a tutor and a student not being a good match? Have you ever had to intervene?
It has happened maybe once or twice in our first 2 years of programming. It does happen occasionally, but we do provide a lot of training and support to the tutors to help them learn how to talk to kids they might not be familiar with interacting with a first, second, or third grade student. And so we help them understand where their students would be expected to fall developmentally, socially, emotionally, academically. So they kind of get a feel for what the kids are like when they go into the situation. We provide some activities that are optional, but to get the conversation started, and sometimes the tutors and students enjoy doing those kinds of activities. And then we just encourage the tutors to persevere. Our first year, I had a tutor who started at the beginning of the school year, and she tutored her student every single week, all the way up until holiday break. And the whole time, the student was always very polite, on task, did all of the things that the tutor asked her to do, but never really opened up, never came out of her shell, in fact, never made eye contact with her tutor until the last session before holiday break. And the tutor said, you know, I'll see you after the break. I hope you have an enjoyable time off of school. You know, I hope you have fun playing in the snow, whatever the case may be. And she knew that she wasn't going to see her tutor for a couple weeks. And the student looked up and finally made eye contact and smiled at her. But it took that many weeks of knowing that that volunteer was going to come back every single week, just like she said she was going to. She was going to hold up her end of the bargain. She was going to help her with this. It was going to be a fun experience. It might be challenging because the kids that we work with are struggling readers, so it's not always something that comes easily or maybe not their favorite thing to do at school, but we try to keep it very positive with the kids and let them see that these volunteers really do just want the best for them and are there to help them become more successful. More times than not, it's the complete opposite of that experience, though. It's the kids want to start talking from the first moment of the session and talk for 20 minutes about anything and everything. And so we also provide some training to the tutors about how to kind of hear what they're saying, empathize that they have a story that they want to share, and they almost always have a story that they want to share, and then move on, because our volunteers are there for a specific purpose, which is to help the kids practice reading and writing. So we definitely need to get to that activity, but that relationship and that rapport is constantly being built and expanded, so that piece of it is important as well. So more often than not, we have great relationships. The kids are so excited, as Ann said. The kids will know when it's tutoring day. They will know when it is tutoring time. I encourage our volunteers to be prompt, not only because the kids have schedules to keep, but because if you're even a minute late, the students will know and call the tutor to the carpet and say, "Where were you? You were supposed to be here to tutor." So the kids really look forward to it, and our volunteers do as well.
Anne, you were shaking your head. Has that ever happened where your tutor's been a minute late? And
mine usually are early. Like, one of them today even was apologizing again. I'm like, you can come anytime. We don't care. You can stay late, too, you know, but don't apologize for that. But mine is usually, like, if we have a field trip, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? I have my tutor today. I've taken care of it.
So I would like to end by asking each of you if there is something surprising or unexpected that has happened as a result of your involvement with Schools of Hope. So I'd like to start with Gina. Can you think of anything that you learned about yourself or that the students revealed to you that you thought was really unexpected?
The one thing that was an unexpected benefit for me, and I've had talked to Jessica about this before, is that is what I learned about Racine Unified. I was educated in Racine Unified, but had moved away. And when I moved back 10 years ago, you know, heard negative stories about the district, and which was surprising to me because I had a wonderful experience growing up. And so by tutoring, it was a great opportunity for me to see firsthand, to go into the schools, because I don't have children, so I'm not in the schools. And to go in and to be able to see firsthand what the challenges are for both students and teachers, to see the environment and to witness that. And it really helped me become more educated about the issues and to become a better advocate for the kids and the schools and the community. So that was, it seems pretty obvious, but I really wasn't expecting that.
Right, so because I think a lot of people, you know, wherever your source of information comes from, it's generally not directly in the schools. Even if you're a parent, you're not spending all day in the school, so you don't necessarily know what's going on. You just know what your children are saying. So so really, by being a volunteer, you might know more about what's actually happening in a school building than a lot of times the parents do, I would think.
So it was great.
Anne, do you have anything that you could share with us?
For me, it's just the amount of people, the volunteers that are willing, you know, to come and to give their time to these students, you know, that maybe aren't getting, you know, the time they need from their teacher each day or, you know, from busy parents at home. So it's just amazing the people that come and return and, you know, and they're so good with communicating with us by email. I can't make it. I'm so sorry, you know. So just the overwhelming, you know, wealth of the people coming in and helping us.
You already told us about one of the tutors that sent you postcards. Has there been any other incidents like that?
There is another story. I ended up going. I have two children of my own, and we went last year to the Racine Theater Guild, the Packy Place, and one of my tutors was on stage. And I was so shocked. And after, because the whole time I kept going, that's my tutor, that's my tutor. And my family's looking at me going, what are you talking about? And afterwards I went up, because he was the Tin Man, so he was covered in silver paint. And so I went up afterwards and I said, I wish I had known. I would have brought your tutors. I would have brought the boys. And I know one of them would have come with me for sure. Mm-hmm. So this year when he returned, I said, what play are you in this year? And he said, I'm not yet. And I said, well, when you are, please share, because one of the students is still in the building. And this year's students, I would bring them, because it was so much fun to see him on stage. And I know they would like to see them, like you had said, Karen, outside of school, mm-hmm. you know.
So it has sort of an effect of not just opening up the schools to the tutors, but opening up the community to the children,
yes.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Right. That's sort of probably not even in the plan, but that's what happens anyway.
There's about a million things that aren't in the plan that keep happening, and they're all great things. So you're right. It just amazes me every year.
That's great. Janelle, do you have any stories like that or any other insights that you can offer?
Well, I have a couple things. I'm just so pleased at how quickly this initiative has grown. Like Jessica said, you know, we only started off with a few schools, and now we're really filling up 8 schools and just setting our sights on even more. So the fact that this has taken off that quickly is just really encouraging and amazing to see that the community is coming together and really supporting our students. Another thing is just the fact that I just came out of the classroom, so I started out behind the scenes more helping the tutors help the students in the building, and now I'm a tutor myself this year.
Oh.
So it's just really great to have both experiences and just to still have that connection with students that I might not be able to get in my new current position. So it's great.
So you get to be a tutor as well.
I do.
So you get to see how the training works.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's sort of perfect, the perfect cycle of getting all the way through.
Yes.
We have about 3.5 minutes left, so I'm going to let Jessica have the last word here. What do you want to tell our listeners? Perhaps give them the information one more time, but what else can you share with us?
Well, you asked about a surprising or unexpected thing that has happened. I said there was a million, but I guess I'd have to echo what Gina said about the opportunity for community members to go into the schools. After we get started with tutoring, after the first few weeks are under our belts, I always get phone calls and emails from tutors saying, I can't believe what's happening in the schools, and I had no idea. I can't believe how clean and cheerful and bright the buildings are. I can't believe the amazing artwork that is on the walls at the schools. I am impressed by the teachers and what a great job they do in sometimes less than ideal situations with regard to class size and resources available. And then just being able to sit down and work with a first, second, or third grader is just an incredible experience. They love their volunteers and aren't afraid to share that with them. So it certainly helps the kids, but it's also beneficial for the volunteers. So if you're looking for that kind of experience, you can absolutely sign up to become a tutor. You can visit the United Way of Racine County website. It's unitedwayracine.org, and then click on Schools of Hope, or give me a call at 262-898-2251.
Okay. I would like to close and thank you all for being here. Once again, we have Ann Hansen, who's a third grade teacher at Giese Elementary, which is part of the Schools of Hope program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Gina Siegert is in her second season as a Schools of Hope volunteer at Janes Elementary School.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Janelle Decker is Assistant Director of Curriculum and Instruction at Racine Unified School District.
Thank you.
And Jessica Safransky-Schott is the Education Initiatives Director with Racine United Way.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Jobs with starting salaries of between $28,000 and $40,000 are awaiting Gateway graduates with associate degrees in accounting. Learn more about on-demand online classes. Visit gtc.edu.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha Community Media is holding an anniversary celebration at the Fireside in Kenosha Saturday evening, November 22nd. The evening will include dinner, door prizes, a silent auction, and an award ceremony. RSVP at 656-8497.
Jazz on WGTD HD2.